people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles, it says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's an, like, a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the 95th episode of Los Angeles Nista. I am the creator, producer, and host, Edward Solis, and it is another Northeast LA episode with my in-studio guest, the publisher of Nella Art News and owner of The Glass Studio, Kathy Milligan. How are you?
Very good. Nice to be here.
Yeah. This is basically a setup for another episode that's happening next week. And so part one of two. Very important that we come and touch on some topics because news that you're involved in and work is happening weekly, and we need to bring people relevant. People are listening live now, watching. So we want to set up next week's episode, which will be very insightful and articulated by you. wanted to let people know about your paper. This is the 9th issue.
Correct.
Yeah. Really quick, you know, without going into the politics and the and the backstory of people that don't work with the paper no more, let's talk about the mission statement of Nella Art News.
Well, it's to spread the word of the region, Northeast Los Angeles, and how special it is, and the arts community that is living there and has been living there since the turn of last century. We have historic buildings. We have, well, history of being an arts and crafts community, and the Chicano art movement was flourishing there, and we continue.
In the 60s and 70s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And we continue to have a thriving artist community. I work with some real estate people that have said they look through their list of the last 50 homes they sold. 40% of the people listed artist as their occupation.
Wow.
And the rest of them are kind of like industry people, you know?
Entertainment industry, or
graphic designers or architects. So we have even more people coming into the community that are artists. So it's just a very vibrant place to be and to be creative. So we try to profile that through the newspaper.
So with all that history in place, all the historicals of art in that region geographically, and what's happening now relevant, there's a demand for this. I mean, there's a void that needs to be filled because of the flourishing artist presence.
Exactly, exactly. The newspaper is loved and embraced by so many people. And I have to say, since the last time I was here, I feel like it has significantly changed my life and offered me opportunities to have conversations that they don't always happen, you know, and that I have the ear of people that matter, and people come to me for advice and come to me for guidance and things sometimes. And it's a little daunting, but at the same time, I'm embracing it. Recently I put together a meeting of the minds of the Northeast Los Angeles arts elders of sorts.
Right. Let me interrupt you real quick.
Yeah,
I think people are coming to you because you've created your world.
Yeah.
From being consistent.
Yeah.
And no BS kind of woman.
I like to get things done.
Yeah.
You know, I bless those people who do the neighborhood council. I've been there. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that's a really, really tough job to volunteer for. Not as many things get done as you'd like to think because you've got this committee. And ever since I've got Nella Art as a institution of sorts to take care of, I've been able to do things. And you know, it's a small posse of people, so the decision-making is pretty easy, you know, and I get to be the, you know, decision-maker most of the time. And then since the newspaper happened, you know, it's been amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, let's talk about the recent meeting you had, mm-hmm. which there's a lot of details to articulate, and we'll touch on that the second part.
But, exactly,
but
yeah.
But the majority, the main idea is tell me what?
Well, the main idea is we're concerned about artists losing their spaces in the area because of gentrification, because, you know, prices go up. And what we're trying to encourage and trying to figure out exactly how to handle, because it's a permit zoning kind of thing, is that we don't want just an arts district in the area that's just about showing art. We want an artist district where it's about creating art and really embracing the fact that an artist needs to be stable in their artistic existence to flourish. And when they have to move repeatedly because the rents go up, because the area becomes cool, and God forbid, you know, York Boulevard is now the coolest street in LA, according to Condé Nast Traveler. I don't think they saw the pawn shop or the pot collective.
Those two things make it not cool.
Well, not that they don't make it cool, but it's not there yet, you know? And it has a lot of potential.
There's
but what happens is
it, right?
Speculators come in and they buy up property and they charge more. The rents when I moved in were around $1 a square foot.
Wow.
And sometimes less, sometimes a little bit more. And now it's up to $250 a square foot, and no artist can have a space there.
More than doubled
yes.
when you moved in.
And so, you know, we're not going to get an Urban Outfitters. We're not going to get an American Apparel because we can't sustain that. Mm-hmm. But what we are going to lose in the process are a lot of artists. So we're trying to figure out this strategy, and it's going to involve talking with our local councilmen about what we can do for a zoning kind of thing to make not only workspaces, but live workspaces that are reasonably priced so that people can anchor themselves. And there are models out there, so we're doing the research and trying to figure out what the best way. One of my favorite places is in Glassell Park, and it's called Keystone Art Studios. And it's a large industrial building that has been subdivided and rents out to artists. They have a gallery space, and there's a really wonderful sense of community that you get there. Mm-hmm. The other thing in the meeting was cultural tourism and creating situations to encourage people to come into the neighborhood, whether they're coming from across the city or across the country or from around the world, and utilizing the classes that are offered in the area, the galleries, art night, and Airbnbs, because I know a lot of different people that have those. And we want to create packages that are, you know, really a good time for somebody to come in. So they can have a day where, you know, they're going to go take two or three classes, have a discount at a local restaurant, and a nice little house to stay in for a couple of days.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, these are some of the things we're working on for 2014.
Now, going back to you as an artist, because first and foremost, you are an artist.
Yeah,
and
I play with glass.
You must be inspired by seeing a place where you've established yourself growing and people from all walks of life coming to be... you know, inspire themselves. How do you feel about the growth as an artist?
Well, I have fear, of course, because I am one of those people that has, you know, potentially could have my rent raised. I have a new landlord. It's effective like just the other day. And
so that's a huge change.
It's a huge change. And, you know, they're artists, so they're actually part of the model that we'd like to see happen. And I'm very happy for them. But, you know, change is scary. And, you know, I appreciate they've worked very hard to get to where they are so that they could buy a building on York. Meanwhile, I'm going to, I think, miss my landlord that I had because there was, you know, that knowledge. Now I'm going into the unknown.
Right. Well, as far as the Gold Line goes, I think that is a pretty easy avenue to come into the area. It didn't exist back in the day, as it's been 10 years that it has, but it's taken people and ridership a while to grasp that it exists. And it's super cheap. It's super efficient. And, you know, I mean, it's not New York subway that runs 24/7, but don't you think that could bring more foot traffic for events?
Oh, absolutely. And in the scheme of the plot for the artist spaces, it is something we want to factor in. There are individuals that were at this meeting that have had other discussions about creating at each respective Gold Line station, like in Highland Park, something artist-oriented. I mean, one of them is the Southwest Museum. And the Friends of the Southwest Museum are working their butts off to keep it alive. And they're fighting with the Autry, who has acquired it and has taken, you know, closed it. So now it's only open one day a week. I mean, this is like the first museum in Los Angeles. And the collection, part of the collection is not even there anymore. And the Friends of the Southwest Museum work very, very hard to keep it alive that this is an issue. And they want to have at that station other things to encourage people to come into the area.
Yeah, I mean, to me... Each station has a story. And I think even like somewhere down the line, if you know, you could point the right person to kind of curate a tour per station. I mean, I think that, you know, just the Gold Line itself, that vertebrate brings opportunity to Northeast LA.
Sure. The
foot traffic or content.
The Avenue 57 stop is right by Chicken Boy. Future Studios. He's a landmark. And you're on Route 66. So, you know, there are...
I didn't know that. That's Route 66.
Yeah. And so, you know, you have that. You have a couple blocks north near Avenue 59, Slow Culture, which is a newer gallery. And Figueroa is coming into its own, you know, with...
Let's talk about that.
...growth and activity and... You know, new businesses. There's a new restaurant coming in Avenue 56 and Figueroa, the Greyhound. You've got even Gil Cedillo's office is right across the street, and he wants to be part of Art Walk. So he's planning on having art in his space.
Wow, he took over Ed Reyes, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so Gil Cedillo then.
Yeah,
is the guy
and
there.
he's a huge art lover. He's on the arts committee on the city council, and going to be talking to him. Hopefully, I'm going by his office tomorrow to set an appointment. And I have to say, they were advertisers in the paper for the holidays. Yay.
Fantastic.
We want to start that conversation about the artist district with them. So going by tomorrow with Chicken Boy's dad. Are you familiar with Chicken Boy?
I'm not. Can you tell me about
Chicken
it?
Chicken Boy, it lives on the top of Future Studio, which is a gallery and store on Figueroa between 55 and 56. And Amy Inouye and Stuart Rappaport are there as Chicken Boy's parents.
Wow.
He is a really tall, one of those like Michelin man kind of, not Michelin man, but the brake guys, you know, the guys that would hold tires or brakes. But he's got a chicken head and he holds a bucket. He's Chicken Boy. And he's one of the things that makes Highland Park so special.
That's great. one of its own, right?
Right. In fact, on, I cherish them because, page 4 and 5 always is the Chicken Boy Gazette in the paper. So, you know, Chicken Boy is represented in every issue.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think, and especially in LA, you know, there's a lot of institutions per city, like Cal Worthington Ford.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
You know,
they'll say,
exactly. This is Chicken Boy.
So,
I know what
Chicken
you're
Boy,
yeah.
You know, and I've heard people say, ooh, what is that up there? And it's like, you don't understand. That's Chicken Boy.
Leave it alone. Yeah. You know, You play with glass.
Yes, I do.
You
yes.
don't play with many other things.
No.
It's glass.
I really like glass.
Let's talk about your place, Glass Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me when you opened it. Tell me when, let's back up. Tell me when you committed to opening it and when it opened.
Okay. I decided, it's probably 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, that I wanted to open up a store, a studio.
Space.
I've been making glass beads and other glass things for, at this point, 20 years. But, you know, then it was about 16 or so. And I recognized that Highland Park was the place. I mean, granted, I live there, but York was very enticing to me. And as I watched, you know, more and more businesses, I realized that there was a window of opportunity and I needed to get on it. So I was looking at one space and I almost had it. It was a little bit bigger and really lovely space, but it started getting too complicated. So I backed out of it. And within 3 days, the space that I'm currently in opened up and I got that. So it's been over 3 years now, almost like 3 1/4 years. And it's been, I have to say, it's been rough because people think that the street is happening. And it is to some degree, but most of the people who walk down the street don't walk into my store. I teach classes. I do fabrication. I make things, you know, to sell in my store. But my bread and butter is classes and fabrication for other artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do tile making for architectural elements. I do glass casting for other artists. The most outrageous thing I've cast so far is a typewriter.
Wow.
It was really interesting. 9 days in the kiln. And then you open it up and you're like, please don't be broken. Please don't be broken.
You have a glass casting service.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you, now, what's the component that casts? Like, how do you do it?
Well, you have the object that you want to cast and reproduce, right? So it could be clay, it could be whatever, you figure out whether you're going to just go one off, which would be plaster over it. Pull that out. If it's clay, it's malleable. Or if you're going for a rubber mold, you know, or if somebody brings me a rubber mold, I can make a rubber mold or you can bring me a rubber mold. I will then use wax. So it's lost wax casting, very similar to what they do with bronzes and what they do with jewelry. It's a nice complicated process. And I like to say it weeds out the weak because not everybody likes to do it. And I like the process and I love the results. So after you've got your wax and you've got it as perfect as you want it to be, because it really will turn out the same in glass, plaster mold, melt the wax out, set it up, flower pot full of glass over the opening, and then let the kiln do the work. And so it melts it. The glass flows into the mold, and if you've gotten all your air holes right and everything, you'll end up with a cast piece of glass.
Pretty exciting.
It's crazy.
So you also dabble and facilitate other things as well, though, at your studio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, macrame.
Macrame?
Let's talk about that, because, come on, how cool is macrame?
We talked about this. Macrame is super cool. I love it. I'm about to start a wall piece, because I have an empty space of wall, and I was like,
I'm going to put a big... Do you get macrame classes also?
Occasionally, yeah.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is there's a lot of macrame on York, because Matters of Space does macrame, uh-huh. and they sell products. And then Shop Class, a vintage store down the street, they've been picking up vintage macrame pieces.
Oh, like and buy they and resell, buy and sell?
Yeah. And I'm at some point, probably early 2014, going to teach macrame plant hanging class out of their studio. So that should be fun. You know?
Yeah. I mean, so what have you done longer, glass or macrame?
Well, macrame.
Since the 70s, right?
Yeah. And I wrote a book and, you know, so I hung out at a store called Macromania that was in West LA across from Pickwood Bowl.
Wow.
And which is now where the Westside Pavilion is.
Are you originally from LA?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
I am. I've been here since I was 2 months old.
Fantastic.
I was born in Sweden. And that was the soonest that I could be shipped over.
Now your book that got published, what's it called?
Mod Knots. Yes. And you can get it on Amazon.com.
Yeah. Is there a home website for that, or you just go to Amazon for
Amazon,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. So
So your passion for macrame has led you to being published into the marketplace in addition to teach it.
Right.
Tell us where to find your studio. What's the address?
5052 York Boulevard, and I'm between Avenue 50 and Avenue 51 in Highland Park, and that is Los Angeles, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, so if you were going to Google it, it's 90042.
Now, being a busy woman with your paper that you publish, Northeast LA, Nella Art News, and your studio, where do you like to go eat in your neighborhood? Because I want to send people your way. Without a car, via public transportation.
Sure. Well, the York, Highland Cafe, Schodorf's, literally right across the street. I call them up and I order a Kathy. That would be a turkey sandwich on ciabatta, no cheese, add avocado.
Good stuff, right?
Yeah. And, you know, if the wrong person answers, they're like, she's ordering a Kathy. What's that? Oh, no, don't worry. We got it.
Uh-huh.
And I do have to say, I like one of our newest additions in the neighborhood, which is Donut Friend.
Donut Friend.
Yeah. You can customize donuts there.
Wow.
And their traditional raised donut is vegan. I'm not vegan, but I don't do dairy. And
are you vegetarian?
No.
Okay.
I'm pescatarian with a little meat now and then.
Right.
So I don't do dairy. Their traditional is vegan. So I can go in there and get a donut, which I can't really do at any place.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And then Scoops also for ice cream.
Yeah.
Because they do a bunch of non-dairy flavors.
Okay. I got it.
Oh, wait. One more. Sunny's Hideaway. Oh, so good. The octopus is amazing.
I got a Northeast LA fun fact for you.
Okay.
Okay. What movie was filmed at the Highland Park American Legion Hall?
Ooh, gosh. I don't know. Was it, Reservoir Dogs was on York.
Yeah.
But?
A performance in that building.
What? I don't know.
La Bamba.
No way.
That's total, you know, like street cred, Mexican American street cred.
There you go.
You know,
absolutely.
You gotta know that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, we've got Marc Maron invading the neighborhood yet again. For his second season, which is set in Highland Park.
Oh,
so
very cool.
That's cool. One thing I am at, I might as well pitch the something at the glass studio. One more thing is I'm adding traditional glass blowing into the mix.
Okay, what's traditional glass blowing?
What people are used to seeing when they see like the Italians and the, you know, when they stick the pole in the glory hole and they spin it around and, you know, doing all that stuff. And we're in the midst of putting together all the equipment for that. And I talked to an electrician today and, you know, doing some electrical work. And it's very exciting. We're going to make, for the beginner, you can take a paperweight making class and make a couple of gorgeous paperweights. So
it's extremely admirable. Before we leave, I want to just let people know about your published paper called Nella Art News. Do you have a website for that you update?
I generally, you can go to nellaart.org for our website, and the paper is posted there, a PDF of it. And The map for the second Saturday. We just had second Saturday last night, mm-hmm. and it was a fun, bustling night throughout Northeast Los Angeles. Lots of art, lots of people.
Fantastic.
Yeah, very cool.
And the new council member, he's going to make his office part of a component in the monthly art
yeah,
walk.
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
And he's been known to show up to galleries. And
so he's proactive.
He's totally. He bought a beautiful piece of art at the Avenue 50 Studio fundraiser. I think he spent like $800. And he's planning on having that in his office. And our state assemblyman, Jimmy Gomez, was out last night tweeting about the various shows he saw. He's coming by to take a blowing class, him and his wife.
Very exciting. And do you have a website for the Glass Studio?
Yeah, theglassstudio.net.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Now, question for you.
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite Metro line?
The Gold
SoCal?
Line.
The Gold Line, of course.
The Gold Line, yeah. Whenever I have to go to City Hall, it's a Gold Line trip.
Easy, right?
Oh, totally.
Grand Park?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Red
oh,
line,
yeah.
Gold
totally,
Line.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great. I'm looking forward to it.
The extension.
The extension to the beach, because yeah. I have a really good friend in Culver City. I have a number of friends in Santa Monica. Driving out there is never a problem. It's driving back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, let me tell you, I just had the MTA in here Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
Ann Chen, she's a communications director. And in 2016, the extension of the Gold Line will be open
mm-hmm.
From Sierra Madre to the city of Azusa.
Wow.
So, they're going to make that much headway within 2 years.
That's crazy.
So it's
well, that's
growing.
All. You know what that also means?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of art opportunities because there has to be art at every metro station. Yes.
Yeah.
At every metro station. So it's
yeah.
really exciting in terms of what's available for public art.
Absolutely. And with that, we'll see you next Sunday. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank
for
you.
For coming in today.